Oh, we're live. Wait a second. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Let me just check one more time, because I'm not taking any chances with this. I've already had a very unfortunate time. Please pity me. Oh, woe is me. Hold on. Live? Nope. Wait. Airtime Pro. Here we go. Bing bang. Boom. Nope. Should be here. Airtime Pro. Here we go. There it is. That's me. That's me in the background, dude. Nope. Should be here. That's me. That's me. There it is. That's me. That's me in the background.
Yes, that's literally me, dude. Dude.
That's me. That's me. There it is. That's me. That's me in the background.
Yes, that's literally me, dude. Dude.
Sorry, I had to rip from Germa. I didn't. Anyway, we only have 40 minutes. We kind of cut into our time from there. But hey, jam-packed full of content and content. I'm sure this will be one of the best episodes we've ever had. I'll tell you that much. Ladles and germs, welcome back. That is probably a very accurate representation of my entire week, if I had to be completely honest. So, where was I? Right. So, I was thinking every five episodes, right? Because I have nothing better else to do with this show. Every five episodes, I have a little Q&A portion at the start. And maybe if there's a lot of questions, unlike today, then we'll bring it into like an entire episode with just questions. And that'd be pretty neat, if I had to say. So, without further ado... Let me play the intro song first, because I like that song. I wanna play it real quick. Hold on. Let's see if I can sign in real quick. Perfect. All right. Listen in. Anyway. Welcome back, everybody. Everyone, welcome back. Now, before we begin with our episode here, I created art. And I'd like you to take a little listen. I told you I'd be unstoppable with this soundboard, and no one listened to me. And no one listened to me. Look what you've made me done now. I can harmonize myself. What can I say? I should be making the music. I don't even need Spotify anymore. Look at this. It's beautiful, I think. It's like I have my own... It's like I cloned myself and made myself do a Gregorian chant. It's fantastic. Except Gregorian chants were only unison. It doesn't matter. It's music stuff. Anyway, what I have prepared for you today is a quick little interlude. As I mentioned, we're going to be doing some questions that I got from Instagram. So next time I do this, I'm probably going to be collecting questions more often. So just pop in once in a while on Instagram. Check me out on @Dermonic. And if you catch me, or you can just shoot me a DM. And then I'll probably answer it on the show. Anonymously, of course. Let's dive in. The most common question I usually get is... Wow, you have a radio voice. That's crazy. It's not a question. It's only a comment. It's something they say when they have nothing else to say, so they gravitate towards the most obvious thing, which is my voice, right? And I don't know how I got it. I'll be honest with you, right? I can't say that I woke up one day and just had it, right? Because I didn't know I had it until someone told me I had it. And more people told me I had it. And the best thing I could probably describe to you how it happened was I probably talk way too much by myself. I am an insane person. I am a psychopath that specifically has problems, you know, with speaking to myself. With no one in the room, just me, no one else. Like, sometimes I just walk into my room and I just go... Like some kind of demon from the seventh pit of hell. Like, I don't understand why I do it, per se, but I do it. Because I don't have anything else to do. I don't have anything better to do. Yeah, sometimes I just do impressions. Sometimes I do demon noises. Sometimes I do monster noises. Sometimes I try to do animal noises. I do whatever I want to do with my voice, and I try to do it as much as possible until I get it, which is probably why I have this voice, because I remember back in the day I had a bit of an obsession with trying to get a good voice, good radio presence, which I guess is the main reason why I'm doing this now. It's a good practice, right? But anyway, that was why I have a radio voice. Not that, it's not rocket science, I just talk a lot by myself. Next question. Let's see. And the second most common question I get from a lot of people is,
"Hey, could I be on your show? Hey, could I be on your show?"
And the only thing I could say to those people is, "Yes, sure, why not? Just you have to fill out this form, and then you can be on my show, right?" The real reason is that it's not that I don't want you on my show, right? It's just that I'm scared you might get lost. I go a mile a minute. You know me. If you know me, right? I go a mile a minute. Years pass in seconds for me, and I don't have a good grasp on pacing. So for 1 second, I'd be on like one topic, and then I immediately jump to another topic. And I don't know where I went and where the transitions are. I just go with the flow. Now, granted, obviously, you could be a witness to this. There's two extra microphones if anyone wants to join, but I do believe that we won't have a lot to talk about. That's the main problem. Because I feel like once there's actual people within inside the room, that's when I start that stage fright. It's all relative to how my perception is to other people, right? So sorry, I remember from the last episode that everyone was in an uproar about my sipping, and I honestly don't know why. I don't know why. Some people said, "You should get off the show if you're sipping." I don't know why he sounds like Gilbert Gottfried, but if you're sipping on the show, I'm trying to sleep to you, and you sipping is very annoying. And I have to say to you, I don't care. I will sip as much as I'd like, thank you very much. And if you think that you saying to stop sipping will make me stop sipping, then you are sorely mistaken, my friend. Alright? I'm very dehydrated. That's the main issue, right? I feel like most of the time, I forget to drink for like 7 hours when I'm doing work. And I'm like, oh yeah! I'm exhausted. Why is that? All right, because I'm 70% made of water, and I've been not drinking water for 7 hours. Here's a little side fact. If you pinch the skin on your finger and you watch it rise and set, you can see how dehydrated you are. And right now, I am... Oh, no. Next question. I'll save the best for last, but the second best has to be... me describing if 9/11 was an inside job. Now, here's the thing, right? Was 9/11 an inside job? Did good old Bush, was he inside of it? Now, that's a good question. Was the Pentagon, was that just a... Now, hold on a second. No. This is a no-politics zone. This kind of leads into the other question, too. This is a no-politics zone, so I will not be discussing politics, because the main issue with politics is it's just kind of boring to me. It's not like it's not, like, interesting. It's just, like, not the topic that I want to be talking about on the show. Now, obviously, you can make politics interesting, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time as well. I'd rather not. I'd rather them not become a 2016 YouTuber like Chris Ray Gunn, who just sits in his room all day.
Hey guys, it's me, Chris Ray Gunn, and I'm going to talk about your feminists again.
Shut up! No one asked! No one cares. Right? Because no one cares at the end of the day. Most politics is just bait. It's just bait. Like Twitter, it's just bait. Like half the stuff I see on Twitter, I just go there for the fun of the memes, man. You can't like... Politics to me is just arguing back and forth. We've seen so many elections, and yet none of them have any substance at all, and I just want to see someone interesting for once, you know? Just have, like, a cowboy there, you know? Just have a... Hey, I'm running for president. It's me. It's me, McCree Johnson. And I am running for president 2028. The election. Even for prime minister, I think that'd be fantastic. Just have a cowboy. Just have a cowboy. Just a thing someone could rely on, you know? Like, if you don't want to vote for any of the people, for the many of the leading candidates, just have a cowboy on standby just for people to vote for, you know? Because at the end of the day, no one wants to vote for any people, right? They just want to sit at home. I think the cowboy would actually get people in voting booths just to vote for the cowboy. And then the cowboy would be in office and be ruined too. Yeehaw! Anyway. Moving on. The second part of that same question... different question, but tying loose ends together. He also asked for little trivia from the historical past. I don't know why I said it like that, but I have nothing. I'm a blank slate. Listen, if I had any like actual interesting stuff about history, I wouldn't be on this radio show. I'd be in the UN Council. But no, I think that there are interesting tidbits for history and for history buffs, but my barometer for that stuff is so niche that I don't like pick up on the broad topics. I just like very niche events that occurred within our history, like the Great Molasses Spill of 1919, where 100 gallons... No, it was 1,000 gallons of molasses spilled on into, like, roads and killed, like, 20 people. It killed 20 people. There are natural disasters that have that as much of a death toll as the Great Molasses Spill of 1919. And I think about that every single time. It's like, people died from drowning in molasses. People died from that. The stuff you, like, that old people smear on bread, they died from drowning in it. I mean, me personally, I'd just eat it. Like, I'd obviously just eat it, but, like... Imagine... I remember also, the currents were moving at 30 kilometers an hour. Imagine 30 kilometer an hour rapids of molasses. Just spewing out in the free... Like, just imagine that for a second. Imagine how cool it would be if you could surf on the molasses. If I had the time travel, if I had one trip that I can use to time travel, it'd be that. It'd be me going back to the Great Molasses Spill of 1919, getting a surfboard or like a raft or something, and just like hauling people back up like they do with like flash flood survivors, you know, just like in a raft, like, hey, buddy, the rapids are getting rough. You gotta come on board. Welcome aboard, yeah. Welcome aboard, sailor. Welcome aboard. You know, like that kind of thing. That would be beautiful, right? I would learn to lucid dream just to reenact that one scene of the Great Molasses Spill of 1919. I wonder if there's footage of the Great Molasses Spill. And there was another one that was recent too, except it was in the ocean, so it's less interesting. But that was in Hawaii, so. Molasses spilling is just a common thing that happens for some reason, and I don't know why. I generally don't know why. I digress. I do believe that I'm probably off the air now, aren't I? Wait. It says live DJ. Oh, no. Hold me. Double check.
I'm probably off
the air. Oh, thank goodness. Okay, we're good. Oh, Sorry, ladies and germ. I'm just having the roughest day. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, last question. And it just says, wait, hold on. Let me read that real quick. Let me get my spectacle out real quick. It just says PP length. Yay! I gotta get the. Right. So, PP length. You want me to disclose that very personal information to the public of my PP length? I will pass, thank you. That's for you to imagine and for me to withhold forever and never to disclose to anybody. No one should know that. Listen, of course, many people are obsessed with me and my personality, but I, hands off the merchandise, all right? Listen, I'm very humble, and I know that there's so many people out there who just want a piece of me, and you're not getting it. I'm sorry. It's not happening. I'm like the exhibit in, like, the World War II monument, you know? Like, it's just hands off, you know? Like, I'm under glass. I've been in that little case for who knows how long. Just hands off the glass. Stop fogging up the screen. Jeez. You're creeping everyone out. They're looking at you now, right? Anyway. We have 20 minutes left, of course. 20 minutes was taken away from me because of this new update in Ethernet and whatever. But I thought we might as well go through a little bit of D&D. Here's the thing, right? D&D for me has been a lifesaver. Literally. And while, you know, some people don't even know what D&D is, so I might as well give you a brief rundown. You see, Dungeons and Dragons, as it's also foretold, as forementioned, is a tabletop role-playing game, which is basically just a way to say you get your friends around in a table and you just make stuff up, which is the best fun you can have, to be honest. It's practically just make-believe with extra rules. Right? Because, obviously, if you just, like, played... I remember back in the day, I used to always play, like, imagination with my family and my friends back in kindergarten. And, you know, it's fun, but at the same time, it doesn't have enough rules. I feel like saying, I have a shield, and it's saying, no, I have a shield that breaks the shield. I have a sword that breaks the shield. I just feel like that's kind of... It gets a little redundant really fast. It's like saying the biggest number. Saying infinity and then saying infinity plus one. It's not even a number, but that's... my own personal gripe now that I'm a savant in the mathematical arts. But D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, is a specific tabletop role-playing game that involves rolling dice and a specific system. Now, obviously, you have a bunch of different systems, but I feel like Dungeons & Dragons has really shot up in popularity nowadays. I mean, you look at shows like Critical Role and Dimension 20, for example. All those shows literally pay people. People are paying money to see the shows. Critical Role has kickstarted their own show that's based in the world that they played in when playing D&D with their friends. Obviously, they're very professional voice actors, so it kind of makes sense. But back in the day, back in 2011, the only people who really cared about D&D were nerds. Now the cool nerds are in on it too. I mean, you got every single variety of nerd now. And I think that's just the nerdification of our society nowadays. Everyone is becoming a nerd and everyone's becoming niche, you know? It's just how the world is working right now. I can't talk to anybody because there's too many topics to talk about. And then just saying like, oh yeah, have you heard about that one artist? Or hey, have you played that one video game? It's hard to connect because most of the time they just say no. But anyway, that's what I'm going to try to bridge the gap right now. D&D. Basically, there's two different sides to D&D, right? You have the Dungeon Master, who controls everything. From the characters that the players encounter, to the setting, to anything else that just happens. Encounters, boss battles, you name it, they run it. And they spend tireless hours of their day to write campaigns that they usually write within the the hour of doing the session. I'm not saying that I do that, but I'm allegedly saying that I do that. And then you have the players, who play within the world and play a specific character. Now, the main thing that I see within a lot of people is like, oh yeah, I don't have imagination. Dude, gal, them, you don't need imagination. You don't need imagination. The only imagination that you need is a character, which is already pre-built because of the setting in the world, right? And I usually work with the player to make their character. And then also, like, you just have the character, right? And you just play along with the character. It's just improv, basically. You have a set character and you have a set scenario and you just play along with it and have fun with it. Obviously, there's role-playing elements as well. You can find, you know, magical items and all that kind of stuff, and there's a battle mechanic and all that, but it's just imagining yourself within the role of the character in the world and just having a good time with your friends. That's the entire point of D&D. That's the entire point of Dungeons & Dragons and tabletop role-playing games as a whole. But let me think about how I started playing D&D, because I remember, I think it was in grade 7. Christmas of grade 7. I was very interested in D&D. I think my first podcast was that I listened to of D&D was The Adventure Zone. That's what it was. And the thing was is that I didn't even know that they weren't playing the game right. It didn't really matter because it was a very entertaining show. And it, like, I rewatched that show at least, like, 3 times. But, like, and there's, like, 60 episodes within that first season. That was wild. But that was the first moment I had encountered D&D, and I loved it. I wanted to get all the books, honestly. And thankfully, my parents got me the first 3 books in the series of, like, rules and all that. I just loved reading it. I read them for, like, a year until I ever, like, dipped my little pinky toe into the waters of D&D. And the one thing that you should know is that there's multiple different versions of D&D. There's the 5th edition, which is the most recent one. And I think 4th edition sucked, from what I gathered. 3.5 was probably one of the best. And then 2 and 1 were the kind of the originals. That's legacy right there. That's Gary Gygax sanctioned D&D, as I like to call it. But I started out a year later after reading all the books and all that with a little one-shot with my family, my sister and my father. And let me tell you, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. The main thing that you can do as a dungeon master that's absolutely horrendous, in my opinion, is thinking that the players will actually stick to the story that you planned out. They won't, because D&D is, by definition, open-ended, right? You can do whatever you want as a character, and you have to be ready for anything. Even the things they haven't prepared for at all, right? Which I didn't expect, so I just led them on like a rail, basically. To be fair, they did play along, but either way. So I never played with them again, because in reality, they didn't really care about D&D that much. But, it all turned around when I was in, I think I got that, like, in grade 6, I think. So in grade 7, I, was depressed. Whoa! Hold on, do I have a soundboard for that? Hold on, let me check. Wait, here we go. I think it's... No. Let me try that bit again. Hold on, one more time. So I was depressed. And I didn't really talk to anybody then and there because in reality I thought that everyone hated me. And I still do think that, to be honest. But I've had several methods to cope with that. So eventually, my teacher catches wind of this, and we have a nice little chat, because, you know, I'm not open to conversation. I just didn't know how to start conversation. And the topic of D&D came up, and I was like, oh yeah, I was interested in playing D&D and all that kind of stuff, but I haven't really found like a group to play it with. And he's like, oh wait, there's another teacher in here who has literally played D&D for 30 years. They played since the beginning. They played the original, the Gary Gygax sanctioned D&D, the holy scriptures of D&D. And I was like, yeah, I want to join that. So we got started with the D&D group. Obviously, the more popular kids that the teacher I talked to invited a few of the popular kids, and they didn't really stick with it because they're like, oh yeah, whatever. But we played a one shot, and that was really fun. So we continued playing for 2 more years until I got out of elementary school and I moved on to high school, where I didn't play as much as I'd like as I'd like to, but you know, COVID and all that. But yeah, I remember it was really fun because the first session we played for the entirety of grade 7, we played this one session. Only 30 minutes, but it was 3 sessions per week. It was heaven because we just skipped. We were always inside the air-conditioned library with all within like the computer lab, I think. Man, those were the days. But yeah, grade 7, I'm pretty sure we were trying to defeat this Minotaur within a maze and we lost. We couldn't defeat it. We stepped out of the maze and a dragon just killed us, which was very fun. I think one of them survived because they drank a potion of shrinking, but that session was over. And then the next session, we investigated an island, a tropical island that was inhabited by the natives, and they had to find a shrine with a magic pearl, which was also pretty neat. I think in the very beginning, someone got swapped, two people's characters got swapped in the center, and they were, like, so excited to play their little characters, and then one person became the elf, and I was like, ooh, so sorry. But yeah, I always played this one character called David, and he was a sorcerer, I think, and my headcanon was that he worked at a magical IKEA. But yeah, it was fun, but inevitably short-lived. We moved on. And yeah, for 4 years, I didn't play D&D because I didn't have anyone to play with. I guess I did play on and off, right? So back in grade 9, I tried to reignite the D&D, dust off the old DMing skills, and played with my friends back in high school. Which didn't really work out, because no one really was interested, because, not because of me, I was a great DM, but because, they didn't really know what was going on. I still needed to find out my style, and the way I described things was very obtuse. So, then, afterwards, a few more years passed, on and off again. There was a one-shot that was very fun, we had a very fun time with that, and there was another time where, just before COVID, I ran this steampunk session, where it was like, they were on this train, and they had to stop, like, magical terrorists. It was very fun. But eventually, also, I think online just kind of corrupted that, because a lot of crosstalk, a lot of, like, internet issues, which didn't really abode well with us. I'm doing it on purpose now. But then, in grade 12, actually... Well, yeah, and then great after, like, the sanctions of COVID kind of drawn down a bit, we were finally able to do an in-person session that lasted actually for a long time. It lasted for, like, half a year. I remember, obviously, on and off, a lot of people doing assignments and essays and exams and all that, and we had to stop during those times, as do we have to do now. But it was very fun because it was the first time I actually felt like I was making a world, right? The basic rundown is that I made this world called the Spiral, where after a great war, a hole opened up in the ocean that spun around a bunch of the islands that made up the spiral that we know today within the world into a spiral. Obviously, there's a bunch of different lore that comes with that, but that's the basic gist of that. And I was able to actually transfer it over to the game I'm running now, which is actually pretty neat. I might actually get those people on once we start doing it in person as well. But for now, that's the basic rundown of what I've got going so far. And, yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah! So, for that last session that I had during grade 11 and grade 12, what I loved about those guys is that they didn't really care. So that means that I was able to do whatever I wanted as a DM, and they just rolled with the punches. We, for the characters, of course, the lineup, Winnie Tinglewax was a fairy who was also a chain smoker and an accountant, and always dreamed of being an adventurer until this moment when he was called to the lines of adventure. You had Fergal, who was formerly kicked out of his Firbolg clan and became a drug dealer. And you had Miles, who was also the recipient of the drugs. I still have no clue who that character is, because they never specified. He never specified what his backstory was. So I just rolled with whatever he said. He was a changeling, too, so it kind of worked out in the end. But yeah, I do recommend listening to Critical Role. Right now I'm working on season one, but Just go on Amazon Prime and watch the show. It's from one of the clips I've seen, the animation is really good. Same people who made Castlevania. So, give it a watch. And yeah, I think that will be all for today. I'm so sorry for the short session, you guys, but unfortunately, this is where it will end. I will leave you off with something I use for my sessions of D&D. A little ambience, because you can't set the mood better than music. That's my opinion. So just having like a bit of music in the background is beautiful. So I'll play this one song from this one animal documentary I watched. David Attenborough is a saint. So yeah, I hope you guys have a pleasant day, and I'll leave you off with one last note. I'm gonna work on that, don't worry. This is like in beta, think about it like that, alright? Anyway, I'll leave you guys to it. I'll see you later.